Very good. Let's see a Bible tonight. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Next week, where are we? Very good. Bring your family. Bring your friends. Bring your enemies. Bring somebody. Come early. Come early. I know Tommy said we have rented the Peterson gym. So come early because you don't want to get stuck over there. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for being good to us. And we pray you bless us tonight. In Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. There was a football player a long time ago, 20-something years ago, 15 years ago, named Ronnie Lott, played at USC, played at the San Francisco 49ers, many Super Bowls, the defensive back. He's in the Hall of Fame. And he was known for hitting people hard. And so one day he was commentating for NBC on a Sunday for all these football games, and someone said to him, which team in this particular game has the advantage? And he said, the first team to deliver the woo hit. What's the woo hit? Is it when someone hits somebody else and the whole stadium says, woo. Did you see that? We serve a woo God. God wants to do woo miracles in your life. He wants to do stuff in your life where everybody who's associated with you, including yourself, says, woo. Did you see that? Over and above the normal stuff he does by keeping you alive every day. Just stuff that's unexpected, unexplainable. And so what I want to talk to you today about is living in woo land. A place where that happens on a regular basis. I was at a conference 10 years ago. I don't know how long ago. It was a bunch of couples. It was just football players and their wives primarily. And the lady who was doing a particular workshop divided us up into four groups, each group according to your brain type, your personality type. So we got in our four groups based on the four different brain types that people have. And she asked us to do an exercise to decide in our groups, what attribute about God do you like the best? And what it was going to prove is that if you have a certain brain type, you're going to like the same thing about God. And so the same thing would happen today. Some of y'all are going to see God and appreciate things about God differently than someone else because of how your personality is. Okay? So my personality is everything's a competition. And so we decided that we were going to have the best answer to the question. And that we were going to get the best answer the quickest. So we were going to win the competition that didn't exist. So we told everybody else in the room, we're going to have the best answer. Our answer is going to be better than yours. And other people are like, it ain't a competition. Yes, it is. You're just scared because you don't want to lose. I mean, it was, we just created this whole tension in the room, friendly tension, because that's how we are. So we got in our group. They got in their group. Everyone's doing their little thing. And she says, you know, do these questions. So we're thinking we're going to have the best answer. We're going to come up with the best. And when we got our answer, we're like, we're done. Y'all done yet? See, we beat y'all. You know, that was stuff. So anyway, so everyone got up. Everyone got their representative and went up. We had four people standing in front of the room. And she said, okay, can y'all tell us what y'all like about God first? Well, our group decided that we like God because he's loving. I'm like, that's weak. Man, your wife made you say that, man. Sit down, man. They were like, what's wrong with them? So we're like, woo, boo, booing at them, right? So then the next person goes, we like God because he's organized. He's such detail and there's so much beauty in the details. We're like, that's corny, man. Sit down. Next person goes up. This really happened. This really true happened. Next person goes up. But it's all friendly. It's all good. It's all love. So next person, we like God because he's creative. Did I say that already? He's creative. Like, man, please, give him our answer. We got the best answer. We like God because he does big things. Now, all the answers are equally right. He is loving, and his love is critical. He is organized, incredibly organized. He is creative. Did y'all see the planet Earth planet show? He's a bomb. He's a bomb. Did y'all see the Bird of Paradise? Did y'all see the, no? How many didn't see the Bird of Paradise? Okay, well, you missed it. You missed it. Anyway, it's a bird who dances and his feathers hang down. When he dances, his feathers go out to like a dress. Really, like a ballerina dress. And he has these things hanging off his head and he's dancing for his wife. I mean, it's a trip. It's really a trip. He's cleaning up his area where he's going to dance. It's just amazing how God is incredibly coordinated, incredibly organized, incredibly creative, incredibly loving. And he does amazing things in our life. But what you have to understand is when God's going to do a miracle in your life, sometimes that miracle is going to require you to stretch your personality type. And give you an example. Some of y'all are real organized. One comes before two. Let me say it this way. Some of y'all are so organized, you read the directions. How many of y'all read the directions? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, all y'all who raise your hand, watch this. How many of y'all never even see the directions? Okay. Now, y'all who read the directions, you'll probably think, how do they live? Why would you not read the directions? It takes too much time. That's why. Now, is that a good reason? No, but it was why we do it. But my point is this. Some of y'all who read the directions, God sometimes will throw a monkey wrench in your process and say, I want to do this. And it's going to require you to get out of your pattern. Other y'all who are real loving, and there are certain groups of people who are real caring. All you care about is making sure everybody's happy. Okay, how you doing? How's the family? I haven't seen you. Oh, you looking so good. And what are you doing? Oh, we need to do lunch. And some people like that. They just want to sit around. And nothing wrong with that. For you. But if you ever hire a person like that, you need to not give them a lot of things to accomplish. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Because here's what I mean. Those kind of people are perfect for relationship building, for networking. And then there are other people who wake up every day with a list of things to accomplish. That's another group of people. Now, watch this about these people. You go to bed with a list. You wake up with a new list. It may have the same things on it, but it's got to be a whole startup list. And you check it off all day. And then watch this, y'all. This is how you know this is you. You do something that's not on your list. You write it on the list and check it off. I will go to bed tonight and think, man, I did 5 things that I wasn't on my list. I'll just write them down and then I'll check them off. How many of y'all like that? How many of y'all think that is just crazy? Don't hate, appreciate. You know what I'm saying? Guess what? If y'all loving people work for someone like me and your job is to get these 5 things done, you will go crazy. Why? Because I'm like this all day. That's how God made me. And you're like this all day. Is one right, one wrong? They're both right. They're both right. You need to have a job or a, even better yet, this is not about job. This is more about a role in the kingdom of God where you can do that. And there are roles in the kingdom where you can do that. And if you're frustrated in your life, it may be that you're like this and someone's wanting you to be like this. What God's going to do, he's going to take all of us. By the way, the glory of God is mostly seen when all those different kind of people work together. Because I can't get this job done with just people like me. And it won't get done with just people like you. It requires all of us to work together. And everyone to be in their spot. And then the glory of God is seen most clearly. What God does, though, with individuals is that he will take every single one of us and challenge us to stretch our personality. In other words, he'll send us, if he wants us to live in Wu-land, he may send you a miracle that requires you to look at yourself and say, I need to do something that's a little out of my comfort zone. In other words, me, when I get up in the morning, I want to go, get stuff done, and I want to eat lunch, let's go, I got to eat, let's go. That's how I am. He'll say, I need you to slow down a little bit. And for some of y'all who are like, you know, some of y'all who are artistic people, list, you don't even know what a list is. You're just like, whatever. You get up every day, you go, what are you going to do today? I don't know. Just see what happens. You can even meet those people during the middle of the day. And you're like, so what are you doing? Oh, nothing. What do you mean, nothing? I'm just kind of seeing what's going to happen. Is that you? You know people like that? And trust me, don't you wish you could be like that sometimes? Like, no agenda, just kind of like on vacation every day. What God's going to do, he's going to take people like myself and say, I need you to be more like that. And when people are like that, you need to be more like that. Why? Because if you're all just one thing, you're not going to be too much good to anybody. And sometimes God's miracles require you to look outside of yourself and say, I need to change a little bit. If God's made you artistic, you are going to be artistic and you need to be artistic. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of artists that are incredibly talented and no one knows who they are because they never learned any organization. There's a lot of organized people who are very organized, but they don't know. They never accomplished anything because they never developed any relationships. And so a lot of times the miracles happen in our life when we allow God to speak to us outside of how we want to hear him. Versus letting us hear him however he wants to speak. Now, Joshua. Everyone say Joshua. Joshua. We're going to look at, we're in the book of Joshua, and we're talking about extreme home takeover. Because Joshua is going to lead the people from Moab through the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And when he leads the people through the River Jordan into the Promised Land, they are going there to acquire a promise God has given them, which is the land. And so we're going to learn principles about going into Wu-land. Now, God has promises for you. That promises that you would have his joy, his peace, his patience, his vision for your life, that you would know what he created you for and you would do it. But you have to go get it by faith. And so what we're going to learn is, as we're going through this whole series of Extreme Home Takeover, we're going to learn things from Joshua's process of taking the promised land. We're going to learn principles that we can apply to our life so we can acquire the promises God has for us. And by the way, the promises God has for you are miraculous. They're supernatural. They are more than the things you see other people getting for themselves. They are more than just getting a good job and having a good career and having a family. They are having a blessed job, a blessed family, a spiritually victorious life. And it may not necessarily mean you have a bigger house. It may not necessarily mean you have more money. It means that you enjoy those things better. I'd rather have a little house and be happy than a big house and be sad. Matter of fact, the second house I bought, it was on this little street. It was such a simple little house. I was so happy in that house. It was so simple. So simple. And you don't have to have all of this. You have to have all of this. And so Wu-land is just having an intimate relationship with God, where God's doing all these amazing things in your life, and all you need is God. And he keeps blowing your mind every day. Okay, let's read chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, and they came to the Jordan, and all the children of Israel lodged with them before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Joshua 3, verse 4, there shall be a space between you and it, the Ark of the Covenant, 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way you are going. For you have not passed this way before. Say, I have not been this way before. Here's what he said. He says, people, when the Ark of the Covenant goes out, let it be in front of you 2,000 cubits and let the word of God lead you, because you have not been this way before. You do not know what's going to happen. And so you always want And this is not in your notes, but you might want to write this down. You always want to know, let the word of God guide and direct your actions. What is the word of God saying? What is God saying? If everyone ever comes to you and says, I have a good idea, you want to say, what does God say? I trust you got a good idea. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. But what does God say? How does God want you to deal with this? You do not want to get in a pattern of knowing or thinking you know everything God's going to do in your life today. What does God say? And the danger is becoming such a professional, mature Christian that you got it figured out. In Wu land, you do not have it figured out. In Wu land, God is in front of you, you are behind, and he is God in directing your path. And anytime he wants to disrupt your schedule, he can. That's Wu land. So let the word lead. Let the Bible lead. Let prayer lead. Let your Christian walk lead. Matter of fact, let's keep reading. We'll come to verse one, point one in your notes. But look what it says in verse five. Verse five says, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. Everyone say sanctify. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What are the first two letters in wonders? Woo. God's going to do woo wonders. God's going to blow your mind. What he told them? Get ready. Number one in your notes. Woo miracles require preparation and expectation. When you go to bed, dear Lord, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know who brings tomorrow. Get me ready. I want to see something happen. I am so excited. I don't know what it is, how it's going to come, when it's going to come. I have a list. I told you before, I write every day. Today is 4-1. Remember I was telling you about my friend Tyrone, the funniest guy I know? Anyway, I told you a couple weeks ago, last week, whenever it is, I have a friend named Tyrone. He was born on April Fool's Day. Is it your birthday today? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Anybody else's birthday today? Happy birthday. Anybody else? In the back, happy birthday. My birthday was Friday. Happy birthday. Very much. Happy birthday. So I have a book, 4-1. Miracle, what's going to happen today? I already got it. Miracle, what's going to happen today? And I'm getting ready to write it down. God, show me. I'm looking for it. I'm ready for it. I expect it. Do you expect God to do something in your life? Some of y'all pray like this. Dear God, I really have a problem, and you know, can you help me? And you know, if it's too much trouble, that's okay, because you know, I know that you have a lot of busy things to do, and this stuff really doesn't happen for me all often. But I really have this problem. If you could really help me, I just need to eat today, and I'm just really hungry. But if you don't want to feed me, I can go hungry another day, because it's okay, because you know, I understand. And so don't, if you don't want to hear this prayer, it's okay. I understand. So just anything you could do, thank you very much. Y'all know people like that? I do. Pastor, you know, I don't know really God. Do you want to be blessed or not? Do you expect God to do anything in your life or not? When you ask God, you must believe. If you don't believe, you shouldn't expect to get anything. He says, get ready. Get ready. How do you get ready? It's very simple. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Serve God faithfully. Let God steward your money. You tithe, you want your money to be blessed? Tithe your money. Be faithful to do the little things. It's that simple. Everyone say it with me. It's that simple. Say it again. It's that simple. Do you remember Dorothy and Toto? Well, after all the drama homegirl went through. Lions, tigers, and bears, the flying monkeys, all the stuff that she went through, all the wicked witch from the east, the wicked witch from the west, the Wizard of Oz, all that kind of, ooh, Dorothy, all that kind of stuff. And then she finds out the fairy lady comes down in a little bubble, and she's looking all, you know, pasty white girl, you know, the girl that came down the bubble. Woo, she needed some sun. Anyway, she comes down. Didn't she? Woo. Her dress and skin was just like one continuous thing. Anyway, she says, Dorothy, oh, you're the very godmother, whatever she was called. I don't know. You know, Annabelle. I don't know who she was. Dorothy, do you want to go home? Yes. Close your eyes and click your heels. And repeat after me. There's no place like home. What did Dorothy say? That's all I had to do? Yeah. She wanted to smack the scarecrow upside his head. How come no one told me this before? You know the Bible says sanctify yourself? I can't tell you how many people come, Pastor, I have a problem. Okay, what's your problem? Okay, I got one question for you. Read your Bible every day? No. You going to church faith? No. Is God you stealing your money according to the Bible? No. Well, I can't help you then. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Let me clarify what that means. That means I don't want to talk to you anymore. Here's what that means. That means that until you do those things, there's nothing for me to say to you. Because if you do those things, then all the drama in your life will probably take care of itself. So do those things first, then come back. I had a friend of mine come to me. He says, I'm having problems with my wife. Can you counsel me? I said, no. I said, tell me what's going on. He said, I'm going to do you five things to do. And then you do those and tell me what happens. I told him to go home, sit down, get a bowl of water and some warm water and some soap. Wash your wife's feet. Hey. Tell her you love her and say, tell me how I can make you happy. Give me five things I can do. He's like, oh, what's going to happen? I said, number one, she's going to start crying. Number two, she's going to tell you what you need to do to fix your problem. And if you do them, your problem will go away. Oh, come on, man. It ain't going to work. I said, I don't want to talk to you no more. This is a true story. This really happened. Real people. Last summer, this happened. I saw him every Friday night at my son's football game. This happened the first preseason. I saw him every week. I'll go up to him every week. A week later, 7 days later, I'll go up to him. Did you do what I said? Yeah. I said, what happened? He was like this. I said, what happened? He goes, just like you said, she started crying. And she gave me my five things, and I'm working on them. I said, your problem go away? He says, yeah, it's like a whole... I said, that's why I didn't want to counsel you. Because if you do the foundation, a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people are sick because they don't eat right and don't exercise. And what the society does, and this is true, knowingly, unknowingly, you could call it whatever you want, you're being poisoned so you can buy medicine for the symptoms of the poison, and then you keep getting poisoned by what you eat, and then you buy more medicine, and then pharmaceutical company makes billions of dollars. It's a whole scam. That's why I didn't want holistic doctors, because they'll solve the problem. And so you keep getting all this. If you watch TV, they give you medicine for the symptom. There's a thing out. I was dying laughing at the TV. I laugh at the TV a lot. A weight loss program. You can lose pounds and you don't have to do anything. You ever see that? How lazy can you be? People, I can lose weight and not do anything. That's what got you in the problem in the first place. It's crazy. My point is this. If you just do the basics, you will be amazed at how your life changes. Read the Bible every day. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, so do not raise your hand. But I wonder how many of you don't read your Bible every day. I wonder how many of you don't ever witness. I wonder how many of you don't serve. I wonder how many of you don't tithe. If you don't do that, then everything's up for grabs. You can't claim that you have a Christianity that's real yet. It's sporadic. It's a hobby to you. But Christianity is life. It's your life. You want to take a lesson? And this is going to offend some of you. Look at the Muslims around the world. That's commitment. I'll even offend you even further. Look at the terrorists. That's commitment. That is commitment. Where you would die for your belief. That's commitment. Now, do I believe? Of course, I don't believe what they believe is right. But that's commitment. And that's why, to the Muslim, and if you pay attention to the news, this is what's happening. The Muslims, their mission is to take over the world. That's their mission. Be no mistake about it. They want to take over America. They want to take over the planet. Be no mistake about it. And if you listen closely, it won't take you long to hear those words. Their job and their mission is to take over the planet. They're the fastest growing religion. There's over a billion Muslims in the world. Matter of fact, I heard on the news today that Europe will be a Muslim, the European Union will be a Muslim nation, if you will, in 2050. Muslim control. Be no mistake about it. They are committed. Christians are not. And then we complain that our God don't bless us. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run through to and fro throughout the earth, looking to show himself strong, woo miracles, if you are loyal. All you got to do is do the basics. That's all you got to do. Simple. It really is. And by the way, what I mean by simple, pray, read the Bible. God tells you to pray. Okay, God, you want me to pray? I'm going to pray. Oh, you want to read the Bible? Okay, I'm reading the Bible. You want me to go witness somebody? Okay, I'm witness. Want me to go leave my house, quit my job, move across country, start a ministry in a place I've never been? Okay, God, I'll do it. That's what he wants. Go. No matter how big the miracle is, just go. No matter how big the problem you think the miracle is going to require, you just do it. That's what God's looking for. That's it. But it starts with you being faithful in the little things, just obeying him here, obeying him there. Matter of fact, can you put the slide up for the building, please? This is our building as of Friday. That's our balcony on the right. Is that off the his egg? Is that off the his egg? Let me explain what you're looking at. On the right is the balcony, third level. In the middle of the screen is the stadium seating under second level. And on the left, where you can see on the bottom scaffolding, that's the scaffolding there is coming down, and that's the leading up to the stage. The stage is on the left. You can't see it. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Why? Because many people, it'll never happen. We were 1 year old, blah, 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 blah. And you know what God said? Go buy the building. No problem. I didn't say, well, God, we don't have any money. He knew that. Well, God, no bank's going to. He knew that. Oh, God, everyone think we're crazy. He knew that. And all those people said we can't do it. Now, I'm not the primary. This is not all about proving those people wrong. Primarily. Because when people said it can't happen, what they were really saying, maybe not realizing it, that God can't do it. I was like, now you know God can do it. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Verse 6. Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know. Everyone say, by this you shall know. By this you shall know the living God is among you, that he will drive out and will not fail to drive out the Canaanite. Say Canaanite. Say all the ites with me. Hittite. Hivite. Perizzite. Girgashite. Amorite, Jebusite. Number 3 in your notes, or number 2, or the next one. Woo miracles, glorify God. Woo miracles, glorify who?
God.
Say it again.
God.
One more time.
God.
A little louder.
God.
Look at the person next to you and say, this ain't about me. Look at the person next to you and say, this ain't about you. It was a little bit in this service, but a lot this morning. Pronounced. I said, look to the person next to you, say, this ain't about me. And you heard, oh, this ain't about me. Look to the person next to you, say, this ain't about you. This ain't about you. And don't you forget it. It was like, this ain't about me. This ain't about, it was so different. Why? You know, that's our pride. Well, I don't want to admit that it's not about me, but I definitely want to admit it ain't about you. When God does a miracle in your life, it ain't about you. That building ain't about me. It's about God.
Well, Pastor Bob, how are you doing this?
Jesus.
Well, can you explain that? Oh, we just don't understand how you've done, grown this church so fast.
Jesus. The Lord God. It's about Jesus. When you get happy, do you think God makes you happy just for you? Think about it. If that was true, you would get happy, go in a room. And then someone knocks on the door and you're like, what? I'm not sharing any of my happiness with you. I was trying to think last service of anything. And maybe I may come up with something, but I haven't. Of anything God has given you that is for you only. I was trying to think. What is it that God gave me only for me? Not even my salvation. It's for me to share. So when he says, and by the way, for me to share so he gets the credit. Because God is going to challenge you to do stuff that you can't do. So you have to say it's him. Will miracles glorify God? Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Therefore, take for yourselves 12 men. How many men?
12.
How many tribes?
12.
How many months?
12.
And it shall be as soon as. Say as soon as.
As soon as.
Say as soon as.
As soon as.
As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters. At the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream shall stand in a heap. Say heap.
Heap.
Watch this. As soon as you do this, not 1 second before. In your notes, miracles, move miracles require action. This is where God loses people.
Oh, I know the Bible and I read the Bible every day and I know all the verses and I know theological principles that'll just spin your head. And so if you have any questions about apologetics or theology or anything, hermeneutics, blah, 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 you come speak to me because I know the Bible.
That's all good and fine. But can you obey the Bible? You learn, you go to church, but what happens when God says, I want you to do this? That's not extra or a bonus or, well, I'm already good because I did all this other stuff. Learning the Bible is the foundation to God using you. So a lot of people get ready. It's like, they're getting ready for the game, but they never get in the game. They just want to have the uniform on. God said, no. Everybody's in the game. And so it requires you to act. And he says, when the priest put the foot in the water, as soon as the water touched, the feet touched the water, then I will part the water. But not before. So sometimes we're like, okay, God, part the water. Take the algae off the rocks because I don't want to slip. Move the water way back, because if you change your mind, I won't be able to run out. God, I can't use you. You're too complicated. You're high maintenance. You're high maintenance. I want a low maintenance Christian. Go do that. Yes, sir. Go do that. Yes, sir. And I don't have to yell at you. I could just speak to you. Hey, can I borrow your life? Yes. Can I borrow your reputation? Yes. Can I borrow everything else? Yes. Can I get you? Yes. That's what God wants. You knowing information, what does that mean? It's important. It's the foundation. God's not going to say, you're so good because you know so much. You have to use it. And so if they were standing on the edge of the water, okay, we're ready, we prayed up, we're sanctified, and God says, now put your feet in the water. And we go, no, I'm scared of the water. They don't cross. No miracle happens. Someone's got to step out first. And then the water parts. And everyone walks through. You got to do something. Now, some of y'all right now, you are on the verge of a miracle right now. You're on the verge of a miracle right now. And God is saying, jump. You're like, jump. Everything's set up. You're right on the edge. You're right on the edge. Matter of fact, let's look at the next point. Look at the next point. Verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, that the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water. The feet of the priest dipped in the edge of the water. Then it says, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the whole harvest time. Say the Jordan was flooded. Say the Jordan was flooded. And said that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap. As soon as they put their foot in the water, the water stood in a heap. But what does it say? The Jordan was what?
Flooded.
Say it again.
Flooded.
One more time.
Flooded.
Ain't that ironic? That God would have them want to cross when the water was flooded. Why couldn't he do it when the water was dried up? Woo, miracles are necessary. God is going to put you in a position where you need a miracle. God is going to lead you down a path and he's going to put you in a corner where something miraculous has to happen or you are done. Nah. How many of y'all been there before? Good. Good. Sometimes people who are in counseling situations, or sometimes when people are stressed or depressed or discouraged, it is because they are in the middle of a miracle and don't even know it. Woo-hoo. Some of y'all right now, you're tripping. You're just like, I can't take it. You're stressed out, whatever. But you are in the middle of a miracle. And the devil's telling you it's disaster. Big miracles and disasters are very closely related. Give an example. What's the matter? I just got fired from my job. Okay, what else going on? I just bought a house. And I just bought tickets to Hawaii. I just got a new car. I'm pregnant. My husband and I can have first baby. I lost my job. Do you like your job? I hate my job. Is it part of your career path?
I'll never do that again ever in my life.
So what is your problem? What is your problem? Could it be that God, with all the other things he's blessed you with, is getting ready to bless you with a good job? It could be right now that God has got you in a place where you are scared, but he's getting ready to do a miracle. And you don't trust him. You think he's trying to hurt you. Ever since day one of that building process, we have had to have a miracle. We've had thousands, literally. It's ridiculous. It's always been way more than we can afford just because it's expensive when we were a new church at the time. Construction prices have gone way up. In case you're not in the construction business, it's ridiculous. We've had incredible obstacles with the community and the politics, blah, 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 blah. And we've always had to have financial miracles. And I can honestly tell you today, to this very day that I stand here before you, that need for miracles still exists. If God doesn't do the miracle, disaster will happen. Are we, the board, blah, blah, scared about it? Not at all. Not at all. We need, you'll see when we do our MP3 financing, we got $13 million of unfulfilled pledges. People, maybe I'm going to give you all this money, don't give it. We have to have a replacement. Have to. The bank, bless their heart, they want their money. Rightfully so. Are we worried about it? Not in the least. If it doesn't happen, disaster. Worry about it? No. Why? Because God has done it over and over. Now, if I was God, I would do the same thing he's doing. That's what I would do. I would string us out to the last day. Why? So people pray. So people trust. That's what I would do. Well, maybe not the last day, you know, God. You don't got to do that. I mean, I believe, God, I believe. But my point is this, is that if you can get in a position where it doesn't matter what's on the line, then God could use you in a bigger thing. But if everything has to be, some people are so organized that they organize themselves out, the faith out of their life. Where you have to know everything and everything's got to be in order. And once you know how everything's going to work out, then you go, God does not work that way. And here's what God will do to you, people like you. God will say, okay, I want you to take a step of faith. Okay, God, I want you to move from this house to this house and start this ministry. Hypothetical. You say, okay, God, and you start figuring out, okay, I'm going to, I'll take this money over here and I'll sell this house. And once this house is sold, then I'll buy this house and then I'll put this money over here and I'll get a second job and blah, blah, blah. And God's like, oh, you got it all figured out. That's right. Okay. As soon as you sell this house, he pulls a job from you. Why? I want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust you. I'm taking care of you. So stop trying to figure it out. Am I saying don't plan? Absolutely not, because I am a planner. Am I saying don't forecast, strategize? Oh, no, because I do all that. But here's the thing. No matter how much you do that, always expect God to always have a gap of faith unknown. Matter of fact, the more you plan, the more you can see the miracle, because then you understand what happened. That's a good thing, but don't, you can't get to where you have to know everything, because if you have to know everything, there's no faith. There's no faith. You can't please God without faith, the Bible says. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, the just shall walk by faith. If you're righteous, you're going to walk by faith. That means faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't know everything. So no matter how you plan, and by the way, plan all you want, God's always going to say, okay, great. You have that much plan. Now I'm going to ask you to do that. That's woundedness. And your woundedness have to be able to enable you to take that leap. If you can only leap as far as you can see, that's not faith. You know, the Impala in the movie, in the Planet Earth thing, the dogs were chasing the Impala. Y'all see that Planet Earth thing? Yeah. Great enthusiasm. And the Impala, do y'all know what an Impala is? Yeah. Looks like a deer, okay? An Impala can jump 10 feet basketball rim, 30 feet first down, one leap. That's hops. Boo! And one of the reasons they had that ability that God gave them from birth, that it didn't evolve over millions of years, I'll tell you why, is because when they run through the grass, they jump, they're looking for the cheetah. If it took them 2 years to figure that out, they would all have been eaten. That's another story. You can take an Impala and put him in a cage, 4 foot wall. He can't see what's behind it. He won't jump. And so you, God has the same thing with you. I need you to trust me into the unknown. That is a requirement, to trust me into the unknown. And so I'm going to put you in a situation where you have to have a miracle. And I may back you in. You may think you know everything, and then all of a sudden it's going to change. You're going to find yourself stranded. Don't think that that's not God. And many times I talk to people who are stressing over stuff, and they go, how did I get myself in this situation? You didn't. God did. And you were right where God wants you. And you need to be excited. You need to be looking for it. And by the way, y'all walk in the unknown every day, and you don't even realize how much of the unknown you walk in every day. How many of y'all really understand how oxygen goes through your lungs and passes oxygen through your alveolar sac, takes CO2 out of your blood and goes into the blood, and the hemoglobin goes through your body? You don't know how that works. Thank you. You know, some people know. Some of y'all know. Y'all heard about that stuff, but you never seen it happen. How do y'all know how sound waves shake your tympanic membrane, shake the bones in your ear, your cochlea and little stereo cilia and the fluid in your ear, and it makes sound? Light comes in your eyes and you see vision. You see depth, motion, color, texture. How your brain sees and processes sound and emotion and how all that stuff makes you who you are. That is a mystery. Proprioception. How your body knows where they are in space. How you can clap behind your back without looking at your eyes, because your body's proprioception tells your hands where they are in relation to each other. How your feet, most people can walk without looking at the ground. Why? You know the ground, because your proprioception is telling your body where, how far away the ground is, even when the ground is uneven. How do you know that? How do animals run through the woods on uneven ground without looking at the ground? Proprioception. They understand what's around them. How does that work? Oh. Proprioception tells you when you're full from eating that your stomach is stretched enough to stop, or when you have to go to the bathroom. Go. My point is, you know that happens, but you don't know how. You just trust it. You trust it. Every day you trust it. That's called faith. What if you saw the miracles God did in your life? And God said, trust me. You'd be like, faith. Every day God wants you to trust him. Because he's doing stuff in your life every day. And just like you're trusting the air, just like you're trusting gravity, just like you're trusting food to go in your stomach and be digested and give you nutrition, so you need to trust God when he asks you to do something, because he created that whole system. Y'all see how many of y'all saw the March of the Penguins? How many of y'all didn't see the March of the Penguins? Did you see the March of the Penguins? You didn't see the Marshall Penguins? The guy in a white shirt, you see the Marshall Penguins? Y'all need to go see that movie. Don't come back here until you see. No, I'm kidding. Let me tell you. I'm really serious. Don't take this real serious. But I'm serious. You need to see that movie. Here's why. These penguins, they walk, I don't know, how many days do they walk? A week? 9 days? Anybody? 14 days? 24 hours a day, they walk to where they were born. Mother and father. They do their little thing. Egg is born. The father puts the egg. The egg comes out the mom, and they transfer the egg onto the dad's feet. Can't touch the ice or it'll die. The dad puts it on his feet. His fat covers the egg to keep it warm. She then walks all the way back to the ocean. He stands there, thousands of them, huddled up like this for 4 months. 100-mile-an-hour wind. No sun. Darkness 24 hours a day. The stomach's on the egg. He doesn't eat. 100-mile-an-hour, they're huddled up. 50 below zero. If the egg falls off his feet and touches the ice, dead. All the effort is wasted. The mom gets eaten by a seal. She doesn't come back. She went to get the food. 4 months. Dad sits there. Wind blows. Sometimes eggs fall off and they crack, and the dad's trying to save the egg. It's dead. And he's there by himself 4 months. And they're sitting there huddling. If the egg is saved, if mom doesn't get eaten, he doesn't eat for 4 months. By the time he's getting ready to die, the egg is born. Mom comes walking back, tries to find her baby. Sometimes her baby is dead. The ones who meet up, the baby's born, they walk back, they go in the water, dad still hasn't eaten. Goes back, and they never see the baby again. You talk about loyalty. You talk about patience. You talk about faithfulness. You talk about commitment. You talk about sacrifice. You talk about God providing. And you worry about you? You need to see that movie. I'm serious. You need to see that movie. Because look, if God is going to take care of the penguin, if God is going to, and by the way, if the penguin can make that sacrifice, you're talking about 4 months with that little egg. I cried at the end of the movie. Here's why. When I saw the commitment of those parents, the sacrifice of those parents, you're talking about a 6 month, 5 month process of them walking there, giving the birth of the baby, having a little family time, then going back. And then when they get back to the water, they all walk back to the water. Baby jumps in the water, parents jump in the water, they never see each other again. After all that, then they do it again. If God takes care of them, and if you know, God, that this is my life, this is my life, this is my life, how much more would you trust him? That's Wulan. Let's keep reading. Verse 1, chapter 4. It came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over to Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men. How many men?
12.
Of the people of every tribe. Every what?
Tribe.
Every what?
Tribe.
How many tribes?
12.
Command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones. How many stones?
12.
From there, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Joshua called the 12 men. How many men? Whom he appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every what?
Tribe.
So Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, each of you, and take up one stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that it may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones really mean? You shall answer them and say that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these are the stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Forever. Can you hold up your stone, please? You got a rock? Here's your assignment. If you know and have evidence and proof that God has blessed you and done miracles in your life, if you have evidence that God has done miracles in your life, you will be more apt to trust he's going to do another one. But if you have no evidence that God has done a miracle in your life, him doing a miracle in your life is going to be such an odd occurrence. Are you following me? The reason you go with confidence, well, you have no choice, you have to breathe. But the reason you don't think about it is because you've done it so many times, it works. You eat food, it digests, it works. But you don't have history with God in your mind, written down, evidence that God pays my bills, because you think you pay your bills, that God encouraged me every day, you think you do it, that God provides a job, health, mental and physical health, you think you do it. You don't do it. He's doing it. But if you have evidence that God has done these things in my life, and then when God asks you to step out in faith because he wants to do another miracle, you will very rarely go, okay, I got it. You've done it before, you're going to do it again. I've seen God do financial miracles in my life. Miracles. We had a crusade in Buffalo, New York. It was at the time called the Midland Arena. I don't know what it's called now. We had 31,000 kids in 2 days. About 5,600 kids got saved. The day before the event, we needed $250,000. The event was $375,000 for 2 days. The arena was like 100-something thousand, just the arena. And I run before I speak. Every time I speak, I go running and work out. So I'm running in Buffalo going, God, we need $250,000. He goes, you don't think I know that? My bad. Is there something you want to tell me? I mean, should I just keep running on down to Canada? Are you going to pay it? I've seen him come through over. I was at Buffalo. When I go on these crusades, I talk at the high schools. So I was talking to all these big high schools in the city where the arena was. You know, 1,000 kids, 2,000 kids, blah, 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 blah. Trying to get the non-Christian kids to come to the crusade. So this one lady says, listen, can you come talk to my little Johnny's class? Well, little Johnny was in sixth grade, 40 minutes away, 25 kids. And I'm thinking, ain't that wrong? I ain't got nothing against little Johnny. But I only have these many days, and it wouldn't be real wise for me to go speak to 25 kids out in the suburbs. Probably going to come where I can be speaking to these high schools that are right there. But, you know, the Lord. Say, so you need to go speak to little Johnny's class. So I'm driving out there. And my assemblies are more for a older high school crowd. And, you know, they're real funny. But all human stuff is more for, you know, a more adult audience. these little fifth graders, fourth graders, whatever. So I'm telling my stories in this little classroom, and the kids are like the kids are like this. And I'm sitting there telling someone, I don't like you neither, but I'm here anyway. You know what I'm saying? They're like, I'm thinking, man, God, what was that about? Why did I come to this school? Well, the lady who, she went out there because she was, part of the ministry out there. And was, so we sat around and prayed like five moms and me, praise the Lord, thank you, thank you, praise the Lord. I'm like, okay, I gotta go back to the city, right, and feed these kids. That lady gave $75,000. God says to you, listen, I got something for you to do, and it may be outside of your schedule. It may be outside of what you think. I'm trying to work a miracle in you. But if you think you got it all figured out, you'll miss the miracle. You'll miss the miracle. And when you have those miracles in your pocket, recorded. Now the stone, obviously you put one on the stone. Get a book, write down on the miracles. And then when God says, I got a miracle for you, you go, I believe it. Or you're in a jam, I believe it. I got you, God, because you did it before, you did it before, you did it before, I believe you. So when God says, I want you to take the step of faith, you go, okay, I don't have the resources, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the contacts, but God got me that before. So I know he's going to do it again. If you can live like that, you live in Wu-Land. If you don't want that, then your life will be, please don't be offended at this, boring. Why? Because it's very predictable. And God is so much bigger than that. And God wants to show himself through you. And by the way, am I saying you can't be systematic? No. But God wants to interrupt that systematic life. My wife is very opposite to me. I talk a lot. She hardly talks. I'm spontaneous. She's got to have a plan. I'm wanting to meet people all the time. She's wanting to just be in the background. So I'll say, hey, Dad, let's go away. Let's go away for the weekend. Oh. When? Tomorrow. Oh. I know, why not? We got this deal, got this coupon, blah, blah, blah. We go over here, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but I gotta take care of the kids. I gotta take care of the house. I gotta do this with the dog. I gotta do this. My wife is like this. Every day she wakes up, 6:20, the alarm goes off. 6:20, not 6:21, but 6:20. Up, out of the bed. And all day long. And then at 9:30 at night. Am I saying that my wife is wrong? She is 100% right for her. What I'm saying, though, is that God's going to whisper to her and say, I want you to break your routine for a minute. I have something for you. She has to be willing to say yes to God. And let God, bam. You have to be willing to let God interrupt your life and do something out of your norm. That's Wu-Land. For some people, living in Wu-Land, for artistic people, you have no schedule. You have no pattern, so it's very easy, a lot easier. For risk takers and people who are driven, it's easier. But for us, it's a different Wu. God's going to tell me, I want you to slow down. Oh, God, I don't want to slow down. Slow down. We got that building because I went to a meeting to build a relationship with somebody and not work. And I found the building we have in Point Loma from that meeting. That God is always going to have you do something outside, and you have to be open to that. And I'll say this last. Your challenge, your homework, is start writing down what he's already done. And when you see what he's done, you will say, wow. And you will say, God, show me another one. And he'll do one for you tomorrow. Now, when you leave here today and you get up tomorrow morning and go to bed at night, ask God to get you ready for a miracle. Say, God, show me a miracle. And watch what happens. Amen. Next week, are you coming here for any reason whatsoever? And where are we having church next week? When? Friday at 7. Y'all know who the Katinas are?
Yeah.
Okay, Friday at 7. And 9-ish on Sunday. Starts at 10. Don't come at 10. Don't come at 10. You'll be in traffic. Come early. And if you're going to bring somebody, try to come with them. Okay? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Y'all know where Cox Arena is, right?
Yeah.
If you don't, it's on the internet. Oh, number 5, I'm sorry. My bad. Number 5, it says, woo miracles leave physical evidence. What does that mean? Is that when God does a miracle in your life, you can see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, it's there, it's real. Amen? How many of y'all have a miracle in your life you can feel, touch, and taste? Or taste, I should say. Yeah, it's right there. That building's a miracle. Physical evidence, it's real. I used to do cocaine for a year and a half. From the age of 16 to the age of 24, I smoked pot all that time. I wasn't really a drinker. And then my last year and a half was cocaine as well. I stopped in one day. Miracle. God, I didn't do that. God did that. I used to live on Callwood Boulevard right off of Montezuma. 4929, I think it was 4929. Apartment A8. That's why I was doing drugs. That's why I stopped in one day. Evidence. You point to it, that person. The biggest miracle you could ever show anybody is your changed life. Because that's what it's about. You want to share the gospel? How's God changed you? If you can't explain that, that's the first thing you need to be able to explain. How's God changed me? Don't talk about theology, you know, if you're still a jerk. Unjerk yourself. That is what's important. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the penguins. Lord, I pray that the people who haven't seen the movie will watch it. But not only watch it, that they would see your hand in it. And they would see your hand in it as it pertains to them. That they would be encouraged that as you've taken care of the penguins, you would take care of them. Lord, you're good to us. And I pray we would allow you to lead us into Woo Land, that we would never want to leave it, that we would stay faithful in little things, reading, praying, being a steward of our time, talents, and treasures, and that we would expect miracles. And when you whisper to us, we would obey. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
You don't have to go home, but you got to get up on out of here. God bless you.